We have dedicated this weekend here in Winchester to talking about how to survive as a family in the 21st century. And as I pointed out last night, we're all from families. Now, we may be from happy families or from sad families. We may come from broken families or from families of single parents. But we're families. And it's not easy to be a family in the 21st century. You know, there were two things that were created at the very beginning. One was the Sabbath, and the other was a family. And the devil has done a pretty good job of doing away with the Sabbath most every place. And of course, now he goes for the very thing that really that's about human society, and that's to eliminate the family. I was sitting on an airplane yesterday, and the fellow next to me, he told me that he was a Presbyterian. And he asked me about Adventists. He said, "I've never heard of Seventh-day Adventists before. What's it like?" And by the way, if someone ever asks you what a Seventh-day Adventist is like, don't answer and say, "We go to church on Saturday." That's not what you want to answer first. Because you see, we can't get together with people at the points of our disagreements. So don't, if somebody says to you, "What's a Seventh-day Adventist?" don't tell him what's different about us until you tell him what's the same. Because our differences are irresolvable. So we've got to feel like we've got something in common with somebody before we can discuss stuff. And so I told him that our founding fathers and mothers were Methodists. He knows what a Methodist is. And we're Baptists and from other faiths. And I just worked it out. And so that we've got to, as my daddy used to say, we've got to build bridges with people. And another thing that I've learned, but this is the introduction that I usually, it doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to preach about. You know, we've got to realize that there's a lot of people in this world who love Jesus who are not in church on Saturday. Did you know that? This is real important for us to know that. Now, one of the problems that happened as Seventh-day Adventists, we used to think that if you weren't a Seventh-day Adventist, you didn't love Jesus. And then that made us feel good about being Adventists. But then now we've discovered in recent years that there are people who are not Seventh-day Adventists who love Jesus as good as we do. And now we don't know why we're Adventists. We think, "Well, man, I'm going to a lot of trouble for nothing." It's caused us some problems. But I want to tell you this. Number one, we've got to realize that there are all kinds of people that had worship this morning. They'll have worship tomorrow, and they'll have it on Monday. They live to do the will of God. But they've got their doctrines messed up. There's just a few doctrines they've got messed up. And it made no difference. You know, some people will say, "Hey, it makes no difference what you believe as long as you believe." That's not true. It's possible that if you don't have good information, supposing you're a pilot on an airplane and there's a storm up above and you don't know it. Now, don't tell me that it makes no difference if you don't know something. No, it can kill you. Yesterday, I was going to fly to Lexington, and you know, you heard about the crash over there. Well, they closed the airport. Well, it's important to have information. Because you don't get the information, you rush in to where you ought not be. And that's the wonderful thing, that God has given a message to, and this message is not for Adventists, it's for all of His children, but He gave it to Adventists to share with other people. And this information is essential, because just before Jesus comes, the devil is going to do deceptions. And these deceptions are so well crafted that if you don't get it right, you give up your salvation. You know, one of the big deceptions that's come in my lifetime, I mean, it's been institutionalized, and it's the doctrine of the secret rapture. Have you heard about that? That's new. That's only been in the last 30 years or so that's become prominent. And they've got all these Left Behind books. You heard about those. You say, "Well, what difference does it make whether you believe in that or you don't?" I'll tell you, I don't know if you know what that represents, but the doctrine of secret rapture means you get two chances to be saved. The train leaves, there's two trains. It also says that the people of God are not going to be here for the tribulation. And so God has graciously given a message to this church. Don't back down. Don't go be a Baptist and a Methodist again. We've been that already. Just stand firm. Love the message. Preach the message and live the message, and you'll be doing what Jesus wants you to do. Anyway, we're going to talk about the family today. This afternoon, and I hope you'll stay for our lunch, they were back in the kitchen. And I'm telling you, this is not peanut butter and jelly. It's much more advanced than that. Now, you can say, well, I'm going to go home and have mama's cooking. But I think mama's cooking came to church today. And you're welcome to stay. And you might be saying, well, Pastor O'Phil, I can't stay. I didn't bring anything. I'd be embarrassed. Well, I'm staying. I didn't bring anything, and I'm not embarrassed. So sit by me. Sit by me, and we'll make it just fine. Because we're going to have some meetings this afternoon. We're going to have 3 meetings. Now, I know that sounds tiresome to some people, but we're going to have little breaks. But we're going to be talking about the home. I don't know if you're a parent or a grandparent, but I'm going to be talking about our children. I'm not going to tell you how to raise children, because my children are all grown. But I'm going to tell you one thing about how to feel when your children are grown. And what do you do when maybe they've left the faith? You know, I don't have a lot of happy stories that I tell about this. Yes, I'm happy and I love my children. But I've had divorce. I've raised a granddaughter. Huh? We've got some stuff going on. What do you do when you're a parent and you go through that kind of stuff? What do you do about being angry? What do you do about feeling like you've made big mistakes? You feeling so guilty. I can remember my big boy, he's a muscle man. He'd come in and he always loved me. He'd squeeze me and say, Daddy, I love you. And I'd want to say, boy, if you really love me, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. You hear where I'm coming from, don't you? So we as parents need to learn how to be parents, not just the little kids, but kids that have got kids and that have made us grandparents. I'm also going to talk about what I've learned from being married to Betty. Now, she's not here today, and I've been married for 42 years. You may have been married for 50 for all I know, or you may not be married yet. You're going to be, or wherever you're at. But you know, we got to think these days. Hey, you count your money, don't you? You lock your house, don't you? You get your car fixed, don't you? But the most important thing we've got are our families. And our families are not going to survive. We're not going to be able to stay married unless we get a little smart. Now, people that are getting a divorce, you know, their marriage is going apart. They say, I don't know what happened to me. Well, hey, nobody gets a divorce from one day to the next. It takes time. It takes time to get in trouble. It takes time to get out of trouble. And then the last talk of the day will be one called The 3 Survival Tips That Will Save Your Marriage. And it's true. You're going to really like that. Not because it's any credit to me, but because it's just true. It's true. So at the end of the day, you won't feel worse. You won't feel guilty. You say, I hate to go to those things. I'll feel so guilty. No, honey, you're already guilty. This will make you so you won't feel guilty. It'll get you on with your life, see. This is no time to feel more guilty. This is a time because, see the gospel's got to make you feel a little bit guilty before it gets you well. You got to feel, you got to know something's wrong before, you got to know you're on the wrong road before you get on the right one. Isn't that right? So the gospel's about that. I don't really mind that at all. But anyway, there were 2 things that started at creation. One was the home and the other was the Sabbath. And I thought that I would talk at this time about the Sabbath. And of course, we've had as our text of Scripture, and there in Hebrews 4, the 9th verse and the 11th verse, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. And then in the 11th verse it says, let's labor therefore to enter into that rest. Down in Florida where I live, not only do we have a lot of Spanish-speaking people, but we've got a lot of people from the West Indies, from Jamaica and so forth. And you know how they start their church sometimes? They start it by what they call an affirmation of the faith. And you know what they do? They stand up and repeat the 4th commandment. Now, you know we're here today when the most of the people be in church tomorrow. So we got to understand that. So why don't we start this sermon, if you don't mind, by doing an affirmation of the faith. And that means we're going to stand up, if you don't mind, and repeat the 4th commandment. That's why we're here today. Let's stand. Exodus 20, 8-11. Here we go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. How was that? You did it, didn't you? Thank you. You may be seated. You know, I've been a Seventh-day Adventist all my life. I can't remember any time in which the Sabbath wasn't in my life. I suppose that I can't say that for all of us who are here today. Some of you were not raised Seventh-day Adventists. Some of you may have come in along the way and have paid a price. I was talking with a young man, and he said, when I made a decision to keep the Sabbath, I lost my job, I lost everything, and I had to spend those however long it was sleeping in the car. I don't know what that's about. I don't know the sacrifices. And some even who are here worshiping with us this afternoon may know what that's like. But you know, and I'm going to speak to you from a perspective of the old timers, those of us who've done this all our lives. You know, I can remember the time, and I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes, in which we used to get ready for the Sabbath. You didn't get that, did you? We used to prepare for the Sabbath. But you know, and I hope it's not in this church, but in some places you go, the Sabbath is losing ground amongst those who are even pretending to be Sabbath keepers. You know, I call it, some people are getting into what we call creative Sabbath keeping. You know, they'll say, well, if I want to get a blessing on Sabbath, I can't go home and eat in my house because I'd have to wash the dishes. Of course, they've got dishwasher. So I go out to eat in a restaurant on Sabbath. Have you heard about that? Some people do that regularly. And other people say, well, you know, I want to get a blessing on Sabbath. I'm going to go to the beach. You know, going to the beach these days could be a curse any day of the week, the way they don't dress out there. Have you noticed that? So I don't know how you go out there to the beach, the swim beach, where all the people are undressed out there and get a Sabbath blessing. But anyway, I'm just telling you how people do. So they'll want to go to a restaurant. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that a little later. One of the problems I think that we had with this matter of the Sabbath was we knew what not to do. I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, one day my neighbor says, how do you keep the Sabbath? And he said, I don't read the newspaper. And he begins to list all the things he didn't do. And so I think this is a problem we've had. We've known what we oughtn't do on the Sabbath, but we some of us haven't thought through what you're supposed to do. This kind of complicates that. In fact, probably this matter of the Sabbath for many, not for everybody, hopefully it's for a few, is made more complicated by the fact that no one ever teaches them how to honor the Sabbath. I was talking with a guy who had not been an Adventist too long, and he said, nobody ever told me how to keep the Sabbath. He said, I just had to wing it. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she went to visit on Sabbath afternoon some people that had just been baptized not long before. And she knocked on the door, and they welcomed her in, and she went in there. And there on the dining room table, there were, who knows, 12 bags of groceries. They'd just come back from the supermarket. And they were unloading and stuff and talking and everything. And pretty soon, you know, she kind of brings up in a nice way. And they start talking about it. And they said, nobody ever told us. And so times have changed a little bit. And I'm going to talk about this as things go on. For many in the 21st century, and I'm not talking if there's any Sunday keepers here today, I'm talking about for Sabbath keepers, and of course I'm not hiding anything. I'm giving the good news and the bad news. But for many people, the Sabbath has become kind of a red light in their lives. And maybe it's because our lives have become more complicated. Now, you know what a red light is, especially if you're going someplace in a hurry. Now, once in a while, they'll have the speed set for 45 miles an hour, and as long as you go 45 and there's no traffic, you can hit every light green, provided you get a green beginning. But when you're in a hurry, and you know where we live there on Route 436, and you're in a hurry to go someplace, and it's rush hour, when you're going as fast as you can and not get caught, and then when you hit a red light, you're mad. And you're looking at your watch, and you're saying, man, and especially in some of those intersections, you know, they don't have one red light. They get red lights all over the place with arrows and turn arrows, and they're coming. And you're sitting there saying, oh, man, how long is this going to take? And see what will happen if you're in a hurry. Watch how this works. If you're in a hurry, you're going down the highway. You go, and the light, you know, is going to turn. And you stop, see? And then when it goes green again, what do? And you speed off again. You hear what I'm talking about? For many, the Sabbath has become a red light. The Sabbath was never meant to be something that stopped us. It got in the way of our lives. The Sabbath was meant to be where you were going. But for many people, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then all the Sabbath, man, looking at that watch. So on Saturday night, and take off again. You know, I'm convinced that God gave us a Sabbath for two reasons. One is that in honoring the Sabbath every week, you couldn't have been an evolutionist if you tried. This whole doctrine of evolution sprang out of the fact that we chose to forget that God created us in 7 days, and every 7 days we would remind ourselves of that. And secondly, that life would be such that you'd need a break. I've sometimes wondered, you know, that this Sabbath thing, if we could get this right, you couldn't have a nervous breakdown if you tried. You couldn't grow an ulcer in 6 days. It takes more than 6 days to grow an ulcer. But God would bring in that Sabbath day and He'd stop. And it wasn't going to be an interruption. It was going to be where you were headed. And until we could finally say, you know, I just can't wait for Sabbath to come. I remember when I was in, thinking about the matter of the Sabbath. If we're going to make sense of the Sabbath, we've got to discover what it is. It was in South America, down in Chile, where we used to live, that I saw an Adventist evangelist give a sermon, and he entitled it Adam's Mother's Birthday. And he brought a birthday cake. And of course, it would have its. You know how it would. By the way, which day of the week is Adam's mother's birthday? And by who's Adam's mother? The earth. Because Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. So Adam's mother's birthday then has to be Sabbath. And so I like that. I thought, well, the Sabbath is like a birthday. But then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I don't think so. Because a birthday, my birthday at least, is about me. You know. By the way, I'm going to have a birthday on September 16th. That's coming on me, isn't it? Do you know my wife and I have our birthday on the same day? Seriously. We're going to both have a birthday on September 16th. And can you imagine the money we've saved through the years on birthday presents? We just call it even. It's just, we call it even. But we're not the same age. We're not the same age. One of us is 1 year older than the other. But I could never tell, because she gets mad if I were to tell you about that. So anyway, I got to thinking, the Sabbath is really not about a birthday, because my birthday is about me. What are you going to do on your birthday? What do you want for your birthday? Birthday is a kind of all about me. I thought to myself, if I'm going to make sense with this Sabbath business, I think the Sabbath is more like an anniversary than it is a birthday. In other words, while my birthday is about me, an anniversary is about who? Us. Right there. It changes. You see, listen to me. Anniversaries are for married people. Listen to what I'm about to say. The world doesn't need the Sabbath. The world needs Jesus. But once you get Jesus, you get the Sabbath. Just like when I married Betty on June 19 in 1960, I got an anniversary. When Jesus is the Lord of our lives, We get to Sabbath because He is the Lord of the Sabbath. No, you know, an anniversary only comes once a year. We can't survive to have just one Sabbath a year. We wouldn't be able to last that long. God's kind of got us built so that 6 days we have for work and play. Though, how does it go? The seventh is for Jesus. You know, how can we get the most out of the Sabbath? You know, I really think, I haven't arrived. This sermon that I'm giving you is not from a point like, I'm there, man. You just do what I do. No, there's something wonderful about the Sabbath. There's more there than I've discovered. It's like light coming under the door. You say, something's on the other side of that door. I want to find out what that is. Anyway, I guess to answer that question, how to get the most out of the Sabbath, you can kind of parallel it by saying, how do you get the most out of an anniversary? You know, Betty was raised in Orlando, sister. And she's one of four daughters. And, of course, going to the academy there and everything, she had boyfriends. And in many cases, her boyfriends, their parents were the best friends of her parents. So it was kind of a big family deal. And you see, it wouldn't be any surprise to you then that through the years, when we would go back to Orlando to visit her parents, guess who was there? Her old boyfriend. But there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with it. You know, in fact, her old boyfriends have been good friends through the years. We, believe it or not, we've had her old boyfriends over to our house. Just a year or so ago, we had a big family reunion. And one of her old boyfriends took us all out to eat. Isn't that marvelous? I think that's wonderful. So I like to have her old boyfriends over and her old boyfriends take us out to eat. But you know, there'd be one day of the year that I'd never have her old boyfriends over. What day would that be? Our anniversary. No, that just won't work. Can you imagine, supposing it was the week before our anniversary, and I was to say, honey, next week's our anniversary. Why don't you get your old boyfriends? I'll get my old girlfriends. We'll go out. Now, right there, you got trouble. No. Old boyfriends and old girlfriends for other days, maybe. But not for the anniversary. You get messed up when you do that. Are you thinking with me now? You see, the Sabbath. You see, in other words, the stuff you do on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday is one thing. You can do it. In other words, a lot has to do with the time. It's not what you're doing. It's the time you're doing it. Is there nothing wrong with going out to a restaurant to eat? But to go out to eat on Sabbath is like kind of having your old girlfriends over. Because the people that are in the restaurant are not honoring God. In other words, why would I want to hang out on Sabbath with people who weren't in the anniversary with me? Why would I want to put myself in an environment where the people all around, they're not thinking of God. They could care less. Why wouldn't I, on the anniversary of my creation and yours, why wouldn't we want to be with those who had of the same mind? I think it's important that we do that. You know, I think that we need to learn how to get the most from the blessing that the Sabbath is. And I think one of the things that can make the Sabbath really precious to us, and I touched on this a moment ago, is to get ready for it. Now, I admit times have changed. There was a time in which the mother didn't work outside the house, but she's outside the house now. The husband, and you know, it's, in other words, it's pretty hard to get home at 5 o'clock at night and get ready for Sabbath. This is why at our house, we start getting ready for Sabbath on Thursday. In fact, it can get so tight when a husband and wife work and you wait to get ready for Sabbath on Friday. What do you have up here in Kentucky? The Kroger's? Where do you shop? Kroger's? Is it a Kroger's one? Well, down there we don't have Kroger's. We have Albertsons and Publix and Winn-Dixie. And so someone was saying, boy, sometimes it gets so tight on the sun coming, going to go down and everything, that we should have Vespers at the Publix. There's too many people in there getting ready for the Sabbath. And don't do you're getting ready for the Sabbath on Friday. Not if you're a working wife and a working husband. You can't do that. You know, we have four children. They're grown children. We got eight grandchildren. And a couple of times a year, the two that live up north, they come down to see us. Now, I don't know if you other... Is there any other grandmas here besides... I figured you were grandmas out back there. And anyway, you know those grandmas, they get pretty excited when the kids come home. And when, especially when they bring the grandchildren. And you know, when Betty realizes that the kids are coming home, she goes in the guest rooms, she cleans them, she washes everything, and she puts gifts in the chest of drawers. And I mean, she's doing that a week before they show up. Because, you know, half the fun of having the kids is getting ready for them to come. Have you ever noticed that about Christmas? Christmas is great, but not nearly as great as getting ready for Christmas. Now, by the way, some people, they don't believe in Christmas. And I guess that's all right. But Jesus was born, wasn't he? You have a birthday, don't you? You know, I could see. Now, you know, if it's Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff, it's not Christmas. It's Santa Claus. In other words, we can have a day in which we remember the wonderful blessing of the birth of our Lord. We can do that. Anyway, getting ready for it. But don't wait till Friday, Gary, for Sabbath. Betty and I start getting ready for Sabbath on Thursday, and I come home at noon on Friday, and then I have to do the vacuum. Now, you see, that's one thing you men got to realize, because you see, us men that have been around a while, we remember when we did the work outside the home, and then the mama did all the work in the home. But if mama's out working till 5 o'clock, then son, you better be helping mama clean the house. Are you hearing me on that? No, we got to do that. We get into trouble if we don't. We can't expect them to be making money and then doing everything they were doing before. That's not right. So I have my stuff I have to do around the house. And vacuuming the house is one of the things. And getting ready for it is half the fun. Now, another thing that I do to get ready for Sabbath, and you may think I'm a closet Catholic when I say this, is that I went to the supermarket and I bought these 7-day prayer candles. Have you ever seen those? They're in clear glass. Now, you can buy some that have the Hail Marys on them, and that are different colors, but I get the white clear ones, and they're like $1.69. And I set them in the family room on the hearth, you know, on there, set some over on the piano, and then in the afternoon, I light those up, getting ready for the Sabbath. You say, boy, I knew you were Catholic kid. No, Jesus is the light of the world. Hey, the candles are nothing wrong with candles. In fact, he says that we should let our light shine too. Doesn't he say that? See? And then you put on some nice music, see, the spiritual music. And so when the Sabbath comes on, because you see, when my kids come, guess what? When they come, and Cindy says, Daddy, I'm going to come on the plane at 4 o'clock, but I don't wait till 6 to go to the airport. Grandma and me are right there, so that when grandson and Cindy, they come off with... You see, this is the fun of it. See, when you really love somebody, you're there to meet them when they come. And that's got to be the joy of the Sabbath. If the Sabbath to you is a... You're watching, you watch all day. We got problems. Maybe we got to talk about who we're waiting for. We're waiting for ourselves, or we're waiting for Jesus to come, see? So there's so much to getting ready for the Sabbath. And by the way, let me just tell you, this is just what we do. You don't need to do this. On Friday night, we have a special meal. Now, I suppose our meal on Friday night, in a symbolic sense, is even more important than the meal we have for Sabbath dinner. Because I'll set the candles on the table. I'll set a tablecloth on the table. I'll bring out our good china and everything. I don't know where they get that china stuff. Whatever it is, I bring that out. I bring out our best stuff. And then I'll bring out a hymnal. And we'll sit around the table. And now if we got the kids there, it's really nice because we'll sing. We'll do the fourth commandment. We do that together. And you know what we eat? We always eat the same thing on Friday night. Now you're thinking, Dick, man, if you've got the table set with your fine lace and your china and your finest stainless steel. You thought I was going to say silver. But the finest stainless steel. And man, you're going to have holy food. You must have holy food. What is it? Tell me what holy food looks like. Well, on Friday night, the holy food in our house is pizza and with root beer. And then our dessert is pudding. Most of the time, the thing I like best is tapioca. So if you wonder if I'm home, if I was going to be home next week, which I won't, you'd say, I wonder what Dick and Betty are having tonight. I know what they're having. They're having pizza. And by the way, you can make pizza hot. You could say, but you don't need pizza, do you? And well, you can make pizza however you want. I'm not going to get into your life. But you can have pizza and still love Jesus. Understand that. That's important for us to remember. Anyway, that's what we do. Now, Sabbath evening is no problem in honoring the Sabbath. You can receive him just like you receive your kids at the airport. And it can become a real blessing to you. Now, Sabbath morning is no problem either. See, you see, we to go to church. Now, one of the problems is, I can remember the days. Now, I know what you look at me and you say, well, you bet you can remember the days. How old are you, 150? You look like it. But no, I'm not 150, but I've been around. I wasn't born yesterday, I can tell you that. See, by the way, one thing about being as old as I am, hey, you get a little smarter than you were when you were young. See, there's a trade-off. You're young, you're dumb. You're old, you're smart. You see, at least that's the way it's supposed to be. Isn't that right? You're supposed to get a little smarter when you get a little older. Anyway, when I was young, more people came to Sabbath school than came to church. People would go home instead of stay for church. Now, I don't recommend that. But I don't know why we feel we got to sleep in on Sabbath morning, I guess. I don't know why. You can go to sleep early on Friday night if you want. But we really should come to Sabbath school. We really should. Now, if it's boring, I apologize. And I think that Sabbath school superintendents should try not to make it boring. I think that Sabbath school teachers should make sure it's not boring. I think we owe it to the people to make it worth the trouble. And maybe when the wives started to work, and the family started to work, maybe we started doing the Sabbath school on Friday night. That's too late. If you're going to be a Sabbath school superintendent, tomorrow you should have had your program ready last month. You can always tell a sermon that the pastor cooked up on Friday night. It's no good. Not always, but you hear where I'm coming from. Hey, what's valuable to us? We work on it a little. You give it a little time. If something's crummy in your life, if something's really crummy in your life, it's because you're not giving it time. Give your best to the Master. You give Jesus your best and you get something good. Anyway, so Sabbath morning should be no trouble. Now, really, the problems we get into are Sabbath afternoon. Now, not this afternoon. This afternoon is all locked up. You're all right this afternoon. But most of the time, we get into trouble on Sabbath afternoon because we don't know what we're going to do. Now, if you ask me what I'm going to do on Monday, I can tell you. I'm talking about this next Monday. I can tell you what I'm going to do on Tuesday or on Wednesday. But you ask most of us what we're going to do on Sabbath afternoon, we go, duh, I don't know, I got to figure that out. And if you got to do it that way, you're going to do the wrong thing. You know what I mean? If on Wednesday before we could say, next Sabbath afternoon, let's do this, then we can keep it home. You know, one of the things, too, this is my personal opinion, is that there was a day in which we dressed in our best clothes to go to church. Now, some people say, well, what if you don't have good? I said best clothes. Your best clothes can be blue jeans. But I think when we go to church, we ought to have our best clothes. Because you go to a big banquet, you do that. They have a banquet in Orlando, a big banquet, and they rent tuxedos to go. Isn't that incredible how they'll do that? And yet some people will want to go to church in shorts and thongs. Because, well, you know, I think that's weird. I think we ought to give Jesus our... No, you hear me now. Now, one of the problems we can get into that makes Sabbath afternoon hard for you is if you go home and you take off your good clothes, supposing you dress like we are today, you come home and you dress this afternoon in your cutoffs and shorts and thongs, it's going to be hard to honor the Sabbath, I'll tell you that. And that's why probably we ought not dress down so far on Sabbath afternoon. Well, I got to take the kids' Sabbath clothes. Well, take their Sabbath clothes off, but don't put on something that's their little rags either, or they'll get the day confused. And I think even as parents now, what are the kids going to do? They can't sit around and study Greek and Hebrew all afternoon, you know, and talk about the Dead Sea Scrolls. They're children. But we need to have something special for our children that's only for Sabbath. That doesn't mean they can't play with any toys, but they can have Sabbath, little Sabbath toys that come out only on Sabbath, and they're not these hideous, little, ugly, demon-like toys that they play with the rest of the week or that they shouldn't be playing with any time. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? Anyway, so, you know, a lady came to me one time after I talked about this. Excuse me, and she said, well, tell me what to do on Sabbath. I said, give me a break. See, we've got to get to the place where, now I've shared with you what I do on Sabbath, but that's not telling you what to do. That's just saying, get some family tradition going. It's really important. It's important not only for the Sabbath, it's important for the family. You go to my boy's home up in Maryland on Friday night, what's he having, by the way? He's having pizza. It could help to keep his marriage together. You hear where I'm coming from? We need, because our families, our homes are under attack, we've got to have special things. It's got to be the glue that keeps us together. We need family traditions. There's something wonderful and precious about them. But you know, there's some... You know, if the Sabbath is the red light in your life, then when Sabbath is over, you're going to want to get out of here, man. You're going to, you know, just watch that clock, boy. And as soon that old sun go down, and then take off. Hey, I want to tell you, the Sabbath can be a blessing to you, and you can lose it all by what you do on Saturday night. Don't run away from the Sabbath. It's better to crawl away or slide away or stay there a while, but don't run away from the Sabbath, because it can wipe out the blessing that the Sabbath was for us. I was in the church one time, bless their hearts, and I noticed in the church bulletin that the next week or the week after, we were going to have a church heritage Sabbath. And the Sabbath school, they were going to talk about the founders and mothers and fathers of our faith. And then in the worship service, it was going to be the precious doctrines of our truth. In the afternoon, they were going to have a program called the Mission Outreach of the Church. And Saturday night after sundown, they were going to show a video, Godzilla Meets Frankenstein. I'm serious. Maybe not that title exact, but that's what it was. So, you see what they were going to do? What they were doing on Sabbath was building the faith. What they were doing on Saturday night was tearing it down. And so, what we do today, believe it or not, was not supposed to be a stoplight. It was supposed to be a model for how we would live the rest of the week. You see, this is one of the troubles we're getting into in some places. They're having, you know, clowns and clown ministries and drama ministries and church and rock and roll church and all the funny business. You know what's happened? It's because they're bringing the way they live the rest of the week into the worship service. It was supposed to be just the opposite. The worship of God that we're doing here today was supposed to set a model and a tone for the way we live the rest of the week. It was supposed to. We've turned that upside down. Anyway, the Sabbath is a blessing to us if we just think about it. Give it a little time. There's something wonderful about it. Have I arrived? No, I haven't. I haven't. Well, they say, you know, if you talk like that, you're just a legalist. That you're just a legalist. That's how you are. We're saved by grace through faith. Well, you bet we're saved by grace through faith, but that doesn't make the Sabbath go away. That makes it make sense to you. See, all our lives, it may not have made sense to you. You say, why can't you do this? Why can't you do that? But once you realize you're saved by grace through faith, that it's about your commitment, like marriage to Jesus Christ as your Savior, makes sense to you then. You can say, I don't bring my old girlfriends to my anniversary. So we don't bring the world to this precious relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what about that text? In Hebrews 4, verse 9, with which we began, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It's my prayer that having thought about the Sabbath today in your home, in your life, it can become a very precious and meaningful experience to you and to all of us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that you established the home and the Sabbath. The Sabbath to strengthen the home, to seal our commitment to you and to each other. We pray for every home who's here today, and Lord, we recognize that the world's gotten way up into our lives. For many of us, the Sabbath is a red light. Oh Lord, may it be a destination to which we look anxiously to go towards each week. And teach us, Lord, bring to our lives the blessing of the Sabbath through Jesus.